Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In just a moment, we are going to air an audio clip for you that comes from a Los Angeles FM radio station. It was an interview conducted today, and we'll air it before it airs in California. This is a conservative Christian pro-life talk show host, Greg Jackson, interviewing one of the key conservative thinkers in the country, the editor of Ronald Reagan's favorite magazine, Human Events, Jed Bobbin. And Greg Jackson is asking him the simple kinds of questions that we ask here at Bob Enyart Live. And you'll have to judge for yourself from this interview. Eventually, the editor of Human Events magazine, he hangs up. He hangs up on Greg. He hangs up after about 10 minutes or so because he's asked, why did you not let your readers know about Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney, when you had all this positive coverage of Mitt Romney, you're a conservative publication. Why didn't you let your readers know that he brought about into law $50 elective surgical abortions? Surgical abortions, abortion on demand in Massachusetts for $50 copay. Why didn't you tell your readers that? Why didn't you tell them that he pushed through homosexual marriage in Massachusetts? Why didn't you tell your readers that? And Jed, the editor of Human Events, said, we did. And Greg's like, I'll quit my job as a host if you could show that you never did. Jed, I read your publication. We could settle this. Just email me the article where you told your readers that Mitt Romney was that radically pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, and the editor hung up on Greg Jackson. So what's exciting to me is that there is a growing coalition, an alliance between conservative, Christian, pro-life talk show hosts and activists and leaders and organizations that are cutting through the lies that the broader conservative movement has settled down into, where they take liberals, pro-abort, pro-homosexual, evolutionists, and they say this is a pro-family conservative. So we'll get to that in just one moment. First, did you notice the headlines? The lowest activity in hurricanes in the Northern Hemisphere in 30 years. Where have the cyclones gone the last 2 years? Asks Florida State University. For the last 2 years. And remember the widespread predictions that because of global warming, we were going to have the worst hurricanes ever? Remember that? And that Hurricane Katrina was just the latest because of global warming? And so where have all the hurricanes gone? They said, you know, if the temperature only goes up a quarter of a degree, we should get an extra 3 hurricanes every quarter of a degree. And we have the lowest activity in the last 30 years. And then in England, one of the more famous TV personalities for decades, David Bellamy, he's written 35 books on scientific issues. He produced about 400 programs, including many or most on the BBC. And all of a sudden, they refused to allow him to get on TV. Back about 10 years ago, when he began to publicly state that global warming was not true. And he points out when the Romans lived in Britain, when the Roman Empire lived in Britain, they were growing red grapes, very good red grapes, and making wine on the borders of Scotland. Now, how'd they do that? Because it was a lot warmer back then. And he said, thousands of years ago, if we were sitting right here, we'd be under ice. So thank God for global warming for ending that ice age. So, of course, this is a scam, Al Gore, and those who worship the earth instead of the creator want us all to change our lifestyles in worship, offer sacrifices to Mother Earth. And so it's fun when we see that since 1998, worldwide temperatures have been going down. It's been getting cooler. for the last 10 years. And this David Bellamy, he says, why doesn't the media report that the ice and the Arctic Circle, the ice has increased? I mean, we've got thousands of square miles more ice than we did 2 years ago. Why isn't that in the headlines? Of course not. And then finally this, I think I mentioned on the show this past week, did I, that the Christian Science Monitor announced they are no longer going to print their daily newspaper. And now add to that U.S. News and World Report also announces they're getting out of the print business, and both those publications will be only online. And it's thrilling to see these hardcore bastions of liberalism falling under the economics that enable Christians to compete on the internet with the truth and exposing, for example, the global warming scam. So the New York Times, by the way, their circulation has been plummeting, and they're at now, what are they at, 1,600,000? 1,600,000 subscriptions, their circulation. All we have to do is get 600 people to cancel their New York Times subscription, and we could be responsible for driving them under 1,000,000, bringing the gray old lady down. It'll be a great day when the New York Times stops publishing. Back at the turn of the century, not this one, the previous one, the New York Times, they led the battle to ban abortion in every U.S. state. And look what's happened to them in the last century. How brutally wicked they have become, the New York Times. So if you know somebody with a New York Times subscription, if you know a coffee shop that gets the New York Times, try to talk them out of it. Try to talk them out of it right here on Bob and Yurt Live. Let's drive the gray old lady into the grave, if we can. Okay, now we go to Los Angeles, a leading FM radio station. In fact, it's a flagship station of a major conservative network. And this weekend, they will be airing an interview with the editor of Ronald Reagan's favorite magazine, Human Events, which I think used to be pro-life. The editor, Jed Bobbin, it unravels in this 10-minute interview that you expect that, of course, he's going to be pro-Republican, but he'll also be open to, you know, fundamental pro-life principles. And I think you find out, well, the main thing you find out in this interview is this basic issue. Is the right to life the paramount right? What rights could be equal to the right to life? And if you're pro-life, you recognize very readily that all the other rights that you can exercise as a human being on this earth, they all are secondary to the right to life. Because if you have a voting right, that's great to have a voting right, but if you're dead, you can't exercise it. So if you have a free speech right, that's super. We should have free speech rights. But if you're dead, if they kill you, you can't complain. And so to hear Jed Bobbins, to hear him address the question of whether or not the right to life is the paramount right, whether it comes first, is fascinating, and it leads me to draw a very simple conclusion. So let's go right now to Los Angeles, an interview that will air this weekend by Greg Jackson interviewing the editor of Human Events.
Welcome to the Greg Jackson Show, where we advance truth no matter where it takes us. Here in Southern California, fortunate to have with me the editor of Human Events, Mr. Jed Bobbin, to talk about the election. Jed, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Well, listen, we got to get right to the nitty-gritty here. What are your thoughts, Jed, with regards to the election?
Well, yeah, that's a long question that deserves a serious answer. You know, I go back to the gridiron dinner back in February of this year, right after Mr. McCain clinched the nomination, and a Republican senator, and the name shall remain deleted because the gridiron dinner is always off the record. This person got up to the podium, congratulated Mr. McCain on winning the nomination, and then suggested he balance the ticket with a Republican. You know, we can go through a lot of recriminations and so forth. I mean, Mr. McCain was absolutely the wrong guy to choose this year, and, you know, the Republicans suffered the damage for it. The real issue now, this does not make America a leftist country. We are not waking up on November the 5th in France. We are still America. We are still center-right country. And Republicans, conservatives have to fight and regain control of the Republican Party, because that's where our future lies, and the Republican Party right now has no future without us. They have to get back to principle. It is a cardinal mistake for them to try to start saying, well, we're going to run so-and-so in 2012 or whatever. Right now they have to dig in, hunker down, put on the body armor and the helmets, and you know, let the bombs fall on them for a while, because Obama and Pelosi and Reid are going to be the most radical liberal group that's ever governed this country. And I think it's going to become very obvious within, maybe 100 days of Obama's inauguration.
Yeah, and you write about that in your latest article, It's Obama, which can be found at humanevents.com. Yeah, I guess the question to you then, Jed, is, you know, you're talking about we need to elect a conservative. So there's no doubt in your mind. I mean, obviously McCain isn't a conservative. We've all known it. He was neither pro-life nor pro-traditional marriage. He was headed up the Gang of 14. He voted for Ruth Bader Ginsburg's confirmation, my goodness, and was the author of the most flagrant violation of First Amendment core speech probably in the history of the United States, McCain-Feingold. So you don't beat a full house with a, you know, with a pair. With a busted flush. So the question is, you know, a lot of people are saying, Jed, that Perhaps nobody could have. I mean, that's really the talking points right now, is that it was just Obama's year. Everyone wanted change, and nobody could have beaten Obama. I am of the belief that an authentic, across-the-board conservative could have. Do you share that assertion, that belief?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, without spending too much more time picking on poor Senator McCain, I said several times back when we didn't even know that Obama was going to win the Democratic nomination, that Mr. McCain was the only Republican who could lose to Hillary. You know, when you run someone who is not a solid conservative, when you run someone who has made his political career out of compromising with liberals on liberal programs, you don't win as a Republican. So there's a lot of room for conservative growth. Between now and 2010, the real need is for Republican conservatives to stand up and start showing themselves to the public.
Well, give me an example of somebody who could have won, because I of course, and, you know, full disclosure, write from time to time for Town Hall, and
we won't hold that against you.
And endorsed Mike Huckabee. And I thought that he was, of all the candidates, aside from the person that I voted for, which is Dr. Alan Keyes, the most authentically conservative, especially on the most important issues to me, which are life and marriage, but also fiscally conservative as well. Why did so many conservative leaders pillory Mike Huckabee as the next Jimmy Carter? And I'm talking across the board, Jed, from Rush Limbaugh to Sean Hannity, Ann Coulter, you know, to many pro-family leaders who didn't endorse him, you know, at the onset, when it was clear that you had Mitt Romney, who was the founding father of same-sex marriage and the $50 copay abortion, as well as John McCain, who, as you and I just discussed, was essentially a Democrat. Why the reticence to early on get behind somebody like Mike Huckabee?
Well, because, and I know Governor Huckabee a little bit. I've met with him six or seven times. I like Huckabee a lot, but he is clearly not qualified to be president of the United States. And he is, you know, kind of one of those Arkansas fast-talking guys that you wonder what you're getting. You know, the fact of the matter is he knows zip, zero, zilch about foreign policy. He is not a fiscal conservative for all that he talks. And for all of his stuff about, well, I want cap and trade, I'm going to cover, you know, cut CEO pay, he was not a conservative in the fiscal sense. So, you know, a lot of people were looking out there for someone who was going to appeal to the evangelicals. That's what Sarah Palin was supposed to do, and she flunked that test altogether. We at Human Events endorsed Fred Thompson.
Why did she flunk that test?
Well, very clearly.
I mean, she wasn't at the top of the ticket. I mean,
she flunked the test because she was put on the ticket to bring that constituency out.
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt that's what she was doing.
They did not turn out. If you look at the
Yeah, but was that because of Palin is my question, Jed, or was that because, well, they weren't going to vote for somebody who wasn't pro-life, pro-marriage, and was if essentially a globalist liberal?
Well, I don't think, well, you can't say that, you cannot
That's
say
why
John
I didn't
McCain,
vote for McCain.
You cannot say John McCain is not pro-life. That is just absolutely false. He's made his career on that.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. How can somebody be pro-life if they don't believe that a baby in the womb possesses an unalienable right to life which no state can violate?
Well, McCain never deviated from that principle.
Sure he does. He believes that clearly. He's opposed to the central core plank of the Republican Party, which is a human life amendment, and has said that he believes that states possess a right to vote on abortion and kill babies.
I'm not going to debate that with you. I think John McCain is solidly pro-life.
Well, how can he be, though?
I will tell you he is solidly pro-life. He has told us very directly prior to the election. He promised us that he would never, ever vary from the idea of appointing conservatives to the Supreme Court, that he would not vary from that. He would not compromise. You know,
sure, I read that article, but can you be pro-life, Jed, if you're for taxpayer-funded embryonic stem cell research?
I can tell you right now that you can be pro-life and be imperfect. All right.
Yeah, but can you be pro-life and be in favor of embryonic stem cell research?
I can tell you also that if we lose this war, which we may very well, because Barack Obama is president, we will never have the question.
But we're not talking about the war. We're not talking about the war. We're talking about the most fundamental right conservatives should agree on. Is it the most fundamental right to you, the right to life?
Well, I think it is one of the most fundamental, but I don't put it in front of freedom of speech. I don't put it in front of freedom to vote.
Oh, the freedom of to vote is higher on your list than the sanctity of human life?
No, I'm saying it is exactly the same priority. Listen to what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm listening to you.
These are things that are of equal importance. They are none is more important than the other. And that's why we have a Bill of Rights that is not put in any order. It is put in the order that it occurred to people, and all of the rights enumerated in there are exactly of the same weight.
Couldn't it be argued, though, Jed, that in the Declaration of Independence, which is, as you know, is our founding national charter and part of the organic law of the United States of America, that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is guaranteed as it is in the Constitution, is the first enumerated right of any free people, the unalienable right to life?
Greg, if you were going to say that, I would disagree with you on constitutional grounds. The Declaration of Independence is not part of the organic law of the land. The Supreme Court has said that for hundreds of years.
Really?
The Constitution, yes.
Can you give me that case? I'm not familiar with it.
I can't remember the case off the top of my head, but it probably goes back way back to Marbury versus Madison. These are cases that have been going around for hundreds of years. And I think a lot of people in the Right to Life movement, and I've heard this argument again and again and again, they say, well, you know, the Declaration of Independence is part of our law. It's not.
Mm.
The Constitution is the fundamental and supreme law of the land.
Right, which
that's
derives
where it is.
Which arguably derives its
it
authority
derives
from the Declaration.
From it it derives from it, but the Declaration does not in any way, rule over or allow a different interpretation of the Constitution.
Well, let me ask you this then. So, essentially, I guess what you're saying then is that you agree with me that an authentic conservative could have won, and yet you yourself at Human Events endorsed Fred Thompson. Was he a conservative in your belief?
Yes.
How could somebody who worked on behalf of Planned Parenthood be a conservative in your estimation?
I think that any lawyer at some point is going to have a client which he may never ever agree with, but he has
the number one abortion provider in the country.
An obligation to represent as his sworn duty as a lawyer. You know,
he didn't have to take that case.
Look, Greg, you can make the right to life thing the most single thing overshadowing everything else in the world.
Well, I believe it is. Thou shalt not murder.
And God bless you. You can believe that. I don't believe it's more important than the others, and I believe it is equally important. And I'm saying we as a principled matter,
right?
We as a matter of principle endorsed Fred Thompson because he is a solid conservative, and he was a solid conservative. He just didn't run a very good campaign. Now, you can go on and on
about Mike
Huckabee
you what,
as long as you want.
I'm asking you what was conservative.
You can go on and on about Sarah Palin as long as you want. Neither one of them is electable.
I'm asking you what was conservative about Fred Thompson, the man whom you endorsed.
Well, I'm answering the question, if you give me a chance, whether or not he advanced for one case for Planned Parenthood. He is still rock solid pro-life. He is a fiscal conservative. He knows, understands, and applies conservative principles to foreign policy. And he is a very good constitutional lawyer. Hey. He is the guy that we chose. Because he is more conservative than anybody else who is running.
I have to dispute the fact that, anybody can be pro-life if they don't support the central plank of the Republican Party, which is a human life amendment. But that's neither here nor there.
No, it really isn't.
But why is it that you, on numerous occasions, which I have brought to your attention privately, did you suppress the information about Mitt Romney's illegal institution of same-sex marriage? Because this is fundamental to me, Jed.
We did not suppress anything, Greg.
Did you ever report on it?
Yes, we did.
When did you report on his illegal...
I don't remember the precise story, Greg, but we had stories on that. And the fact that we didn't want to report it every day of the week, you say we're suppressing? That's garbage. That's baloney.
The thing is, I'm not familiar with one... ever mention you, well, Ann Coulter or David Limbaugh of Mitt Romney's illegal institution of same-sex marriage or his establishment of abortion with a $50 copay?
I can't tell you that Ann ever wrote about it. I can't tell you that David Limbaugh ever wrote about it, but it was covered here. And to say that we're suppressing it is outrageous and insulting wrong.
But it's the truth. Can you please provide...
No, it's not the truth. It is absolutely...
I have an easy way to settle it, Jed. You could actually email me one instance where you ever reported at Human Events, which used to be Ronald Reagan's. Oh, that's it. That's it from Jed Babin. All right. There you have it, folks. That is the conservative movement in a nutshell. And when we return from break, we'll tell you a little bit more about what you just heard here on The Greg Jackson Show, 98.3 KDAR, the Christian station.
Wow, that's a major FM radio station in Los Angeles. And here on Bob and Yurt Live on AM 670 KLTT and online at kgov.com, you heard it before Greg Jackson's audience heard that interview. And that was a good way to sum it up. You just heard the voice of the conservative movement in America. That's the voice of the conservative movement in America. And listen, when they endorse Fred Thompson, right, they endorse Fred Thompson for president, and this is Human Events magazine. So you would suspect that they would think through his record in his actions. And when Fred Thompson, it's exposed, not by Human Events, but by those who really care about Fred Thompson's record, it's exposed that he has represented NARAL and Planned Parenthood fighting for abortion rights as a lobbyist. When that's exposed, what does the editor of Human Events say about it? Jed Babin says, well, any lawyer has a sworn duty to represent his client. I mean, that is so bizarre. And Greg Jackson says, well, he didn't have to take the case. I mean, he's a grown man, isn't he? Fred Thompson, isn't he a grown man? He's an attorney. What is he, a slave? He has to take the case. Planned Parenthood comes and says, we want to kill more kids. Fred, you're pro-life. You're an attorney. Would you represent us? He says, sure, I'll represent you. How much will you pay me? He's a pro-abort. He's pro-choice. These conservatives are all pro-choice. They may have some exceptions, but they're pro-choice with exceptions. And Greg Jackson is right. How could somebody be pro-life and it be against the right to life of the unborn? How could somebody be pro-life and be against the Human Life Amendment? They're pro-choice. They are pro-choice. And so Jed Babin says, well, the right to life is not the paramount right. There are other rights that are equal to it, like the right to vote. You know, you could be alive and not able to vote. That's a real possibility. We have kids who are not able to vote. They can't vote because their voting is regulated. Criminals can't vote. Felons can't vote. But the right to life, an innocent person cannot justly be denied the right to life. Now, an innocent person can be denied the right to vote. For example, if you're a kid, and there have been billions of people around the world who didn't have a right to vote, but they were alive and they had a right to life. Of course, you don't have to think hard. It's not Jed Bobbin at Human Events. It's not Human Events' inability to think through the issue. That's not it. What it is Jed Bobbin is not pro-life. So he's just looking for ways to make the right to life of the unborn irrelevant. That's what he's doing. Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked. Let's go to California. Johnny, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, hi, Bob. Good to see you again.
Thank you, sir. What's up?
I'd like you to help me think through an issue here. I had a small debate with a good friend of mine over the phone, over voting. He supported McCain. And I would tell him that wasn't a good decision. I told him why. And he agreed that the man who I voted for, Alan Keyes, was a good man. He honored his position.
All right. And, Johnny, we're almost out of time. Your question real quickly.
I'll get straight to the point then. Okay. Basically, I refer him to Romans 13.
Yeah.
Where it says that there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God.
Right.
He told me, hey, you know, no matter who gets in office, it must have been God's will because
All right. Super.
Government.
All right, very good, Johnny. We have a terrible connection, so let me run with that. Thank you. Romans 13, all authority flows from God. God is the one who decided that children had to obey parents. The authority structure, that is what flows from God. That doesn't mean if a man rapes a woman and impregnates her, that her kids then have to obey the rapist. It doesn't mean that. That's an absurd, absurd interpretation of a simple principle in Romans 13. All authority flows from God. It doesn't mean that God had orchestrated this man to rape a woman and impregnate her, and then her child has to seek out the rapist and obey him. That's perversion. So when Adolf Hitler, when he murders, he becomes Chancellor of Germany, it doesn't mean that God micromanaged who Hitler would murder and put him in power. It doesn't mean that God elected Obama or George W. Bush. It doesn't mean that. It means that authority flows from God. And to the extent that we are able to, we should obey our parents and obey our government. If a father is an alcoholic, he asks his kids to go rob a liquor store, they should refuse to obey their father. But to the extent you are able, live at peace with all men, respect your parents, honor your parents, obey your parents to the extent that you're able while you are under their authority. And to the extent you are able without disobeying God, obey the governing authorities. So Peter says we must obey God rather than man. So there is a boundary there. You obey the governing authorities where they have the just grounds to request a certain action from you. But you don't obey the government when they ask you to do something wrong. And don't attribute to God rapists and tyrants. It's Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.